This is, I think, my third or fourth time, really, to be over at Crosstown to share with you God's Word. As a matter of fact, I think I was the man who preached the Sunday before Robert Prater started working here. And so it's been a long time since you've heard a good sermon. Now, some of you aren't laughing. That was a joke. So the first thing you need to do is chill out and relax. But you tell Prater I said that, okay? You tell Prater I said that. No, he called before he came here and asked what I knew about this congregation. I said, it's a great church. And said, you know, you're going to be following a legend, but you don't need to worry about that at all. I said, Charlie's been here, I think, for 18 or 19 or 20 years or something like that. And Charlie Kimes is a great, great man. And Robert Prater is a very, very good preacher. And my wife is looking at me like, you should not have said what you just said. And so, thank you for laughing and thank you for being here. And it's just a joke. Robert asked me to speak on godly grandparenting. Godly grandparenting. And so that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about grandparents tonight. I will tell you that the only other time I've ever preached on godly grandparenting was in Shawnee, Oklahoma, when Robert was preaching in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And so he said, just preach that same sermon that you preached in Shawnee a couple of years ago. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. And so we're going to talk about grandparenting. And if you brought your Bibles with you, I want you to take them and I want you to turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's the passage of Scripture that we're going to be centering in on, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to actually read in just a moment, not right now, but in just a moment, verses 3 through 12, and we're going to specifically take out of those many verses, one or two verses, that I think are very apropos to what we want to be talking about tonight. Some of us who are here this evening in this auditorium are grandparents. Some of us in this auditorium tonight are not grandparents. Some of us are a long, long way from being a grandparent. Some of us would love nothing more than to be a grandparent right now in our lives. Some of you have known your grandparents. Some of you never knew who your grandparents were, or at least you never met your grandparents. Nevertheless, if you stop and think about it, we have all had grandparents. You may not know who they are. You may not know what they looked like. You maybe never conversed with them. They never played with you. They never took you anywhere. They never were an influence on your life. But we've all had grandparents at one time or another. Most of us have heard stories about our grandparents. I know my father has not only talked about his parents, and I'll talk about his parents and my mother's parents in just a moment, but my dad would talk about his grandparents as well, and it's always an interesting thing to hear my father talk about his grandparents. Grandpa and grandma stories, for one reason or another, for a lot of us, seem to really fascinate us. Some of us love, to hear stories of the past, especially if the precious folks who are telling us were those grandparents, grandma and grandpa, or great-grandpa, or great-grandma. You see, one of the many, many things that make human beings unique in all of creation, if you stop and really think about that, is the presence of and the influence of grandparents in our lives. And I would imagine that if we took this microphone and walked around, there would be at least some of us, maybe a significant number of us tonight, who could talk about the role that a grandmother or the role that a grandfather actually played in our lives. Now, I understand and I'm totally aware of the fact that some of you maybe never experienced that, but I know that a lot of you did. F.W. Borman, several years back, pointed out that in the vegetable world, the bursting buds, he wrote, I love how he writes, he said, the bursting buds of spring push off the last lingering leaves of the previous season and thus decline to have anything to do with the generation that preceded them, to say nothing of the generation before that. He also writes, among animals and birds, a certain filial affection is sometimes found for fathers or mothers, but there's never a trace of a relationship with the grandfather or the grandmother. That's kind of interesting if you really stop and think about it. But Boehm goes on and says, but it's not the case for human beings. He says human beings are unique. Human beings are very different from all of the other entities within the animal kingdom. He said, and I quote, "We come under the influence of not only teachers and tutors or fathers and mothers, but," he says, "we also come under the influence of the tutelage of grandfathers and grandmothers as well." And I think he's right. As a matter of fact, I don't know if there's any other time in the history of at least the United States and maybe the history of the world where grandmas and grandpas are playing a very integral role in the formation of their grandchildren. Because, brothers and sisters, never before in the history of the United States are more grandmas and grandpas raising their grandchildren. That may not be your case. There may be somebody here tonight that is you are experiencing that right now. You thought that you would probably be through with that, but because of a variety of circumstances, and a lot of times those circumstances not being very good, you're taking over that responsibility. God bless you for doing that. God bless you for doing that. Your stars in heaven will be multiplied over and over and over again. But that's something that we need to remember and understand. And so, if you don't get anything else, I want to make sure that you get this. The impact of grandpas and grandmas in history, really, if you stop and think about it, is beyond calculation. As a matter of fact, often, if you look over the pages of the Word of God, if you look at biblical history, grandparents have a lot of times played a major role, if not the primary role. For instance, and we're not going to talk about very many of these, but for instance, Hezekiah was one of the best kings God's people ever knew. But his daddy, Ahaz, was absolutely an abomination. He was dysfunctional. He was wicked. He wasn't any good at all. As a matter of fact, one of the worst. But his grandfather, Jotham, and he was a great, great man and a great, great king. And the Bible says that he did that which was right in the eyes of God. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Well, Hezekiah apparently took after his grandfather rather than taking after his father. And the result was victory as far as the kingdom of God at that particular time was concerned. Well, because of the powerful influence of grandparents, there's always hope that even if one generation gets off the beaten path, if one generation gets off the track, if one generation goes astray, the next generation, praise the Lord, the next generation can actually be brought back. And in that really, brothers and sisters, lies the glory, I believe, of godly, Christian, Christ-following grandparents. Because so many times, and I've seen that when I preached at Memorial Road for about 25 years, the relationship of grandparents and grandchildren is unique because it's just full of hope and it's full of expectations. And if it wasn't for some grandfathers and if it wasn't for some godly grandmothers, there are some grandchildren who wouldn't be saved, who wouldn't be in the church, who wouldn't be living life the way that God actually wants them to live. And so I want you to think about that as we talk about this because I think it's very, very important. Grandparents play a major, major role. And maybe that explains the mystery of how a boy who's not good enough to marry your daughter can be the father of your perfect grandchildren. Maybe that's how that works out. It also explains why a woman sometimes who's quote-unquote so unworthy of your son can bear such brilliant beings into the world. Amen. And that happens a lot. I don't know who you are, brother, but I hope you're safe tonight. Good, all right. Now, all of that applies to 2 Timothy chapter 1. All of that applies to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul wrote 2 Timothy really, for a lot of reasons, but one of the primary reasons that the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Timothy was because Paul was lonely. It seemed like all of his friends had deserted him, with the exception of Luke. And Paul wanted desperately for Timothy to come back and to be with him in ministry. Timothy, and all you have to do is just read Scripture over and over again, Timothy was exceptionally special to the Apostle Paul. Now, why was Timothy so special to Paul? Well, Timothy was special because Paul had personally invested in Timothy. Paul had personally laid his hands on him, the Bible says, when he received the Holy Spirit. Paul had probably, in so many ways, led Timothy to Jesus Christ. Paul was the instrument that God had used to really fulfill Grandma Lois's prayers. And I would imagine, if you stop and think about that relationship, so many times Grandma Lois had prayed for her grandson, seeking God's will for his life for the rest of his life. And I think that is probably why the Apostle Paul recognizes the sincere faith of Lois and also of Mother Eunice as well. Grandma Lois, I'm sure, was instrumental in bringing Timothy to that point in his life when he really could follow Jesus Christ for the rest of his life. And so, godly grandparents, godly grandmothers, and godly grandfathers can have a powerful impact on the lives of their grandchildren. And Timothy is simply a great example of that fact. And so, let's listen now and let's read together about Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice and the effect their faith, and specifically Lois's faith, had on her grandson Timothy. And I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're actually going to read, just to read it in context, we're going to read verses 3 through 12. Verses 3 through 12 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says this, "I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith." Listen now. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle, a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." A very, very familiar passage of Scripture for so many of us who've studied the Bible, been in Bible class for years and years and years. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you, if you don't mind raising your hands, how many of you here tonight are grandparents? Would you just raise your hands? Okay, so the vast majority of class tonight, you are actually grandparents. How many of you have known, or how many of you know your grandparents? How many have known or you know your grandparents? Raise your hands. Almost the same number, if not even a little bit more. I consider myself very, very fortunate. I knew my grandma and grandpa Allen, my father's parents, and I knew my granddad and grandma Smith, my mother's parents. And they were grandpa and grandma and granddad and grandma. How many of you I'm just taking an informal survey. How many of you are either grandma or grandmother? Grandma or grandmother? Okay. How many of you are grandpa or granddad? How many of you just have totally different names? Yeah. Grandpa, it's just interesting. Grandma and granddad are almost, those terms are almost a thing of the past. Everybody's got another, and that's fine. There's not a thing of, I just thought I'd ask that question and just see what's going on, okay? I consider myself very, very fortunate that I knew my grandparents. I even knew my great-grandma Jontra, my Grandma Smith's mother. I was a little boy, but I remember her distinctly being in bed, sick, never getting out of that bed, but I remember her as a very, very sweet, sweet woman. And so personally, I've been richly blessed. I've learned a lot about grandparenting, I think, simply by watching my grandparents. Some of you may not have been as fortunate as I've been, but you've probably have heard stories, as we said at the very beginning of our lesson tonight, you've heard stories about grandparents, stories that have been handed down maybe for generation after generation. Maybe you've heard stories of your great-grandparents or your great-great-grandparents. Grandparents are truly, I believe, a very special breed of people. One little 8-year-old girl, when asked to explain who grandparents are, said this. This little 8-year-old said, "A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own. She likes other people's little girls. A grandfather is a man grandmother. He goes for walks with the boys, and they talk about fishing and tractors and things like that. Grandmas do not have to do anything except be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard or run. It's enough if they drive us to the market where the pretend horse is and have lots of dimes ready. Or if they take us for walks, they should slow down past things like pretty flowers and caterpillars. They never, ever say, hurry up. Usually they're fat, but not too fat to tie kids' shoes. They wear glasses and funny underwear, and they take their teeth out and gums off. And it's better if they don't play cards, except if they play cards with me. They don't have to be smart. They only have to answer questions like, why do dogs hate cats, and how come God isn't married? And they don't talk baby talk like other people do because it's hard to understand. And when they read to us, they never skip or mind if it's the same story again and again and again. And then she says, everybody should try to have one, especially if you don't have a television, because grandparents are the only grown-ups who've got time. There was a lady one time that was sitting next to a man on an airplane, and for 2 straight hours, she did nothing but talk about her grandchildren. She had a plastic folder that had all of the photographs of her grandchildren, and she had the audacity to share it with the man she was sitting in the plane next to. And after talking for 2 straight hours, she realized finally that she had absolutely dominated the conversation with this other man for 2 hours. So she said to the man, you know what? I've done all of the talking. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry. You certainly have something to say. And so would you please tell me, what do you think of my grandchildren? I love that story about the grandma who invited a few friends over to the house to play bridge, and they're playing. Her 5-year-old grandson surprised them by bringing some tea to drink in the room for everyone, and grandma was so proud of her grandson. Everyone there drank the tea, commented on how wonderful the tea was. One lady told the boy, that was the best tea I've ever had. How did you make it? And the boy said, I put some tea in some hot water, like grandma always does, and I let it sit for a while, and then I strained it. And grandma was surprised because she didn't have a strainer. So she asked him, what did you strain it with? To which her grandson replied, a fly swatter. And all of the ladies gasped, but the boy very quick said, oh, don't worry, I used an old one. Children can strain us at times, but children, grandparents, are also wonderful as well. And I know that grandparents can really play an enormous and valuable role in the life of their grandchildren. In fact, it's really hard to calculate the impact that a godly set of grandparents can have on children. I told you I knew my grandparents. My grandpa Smith was a gospel preacher for 65 years. He preached in little towns in southeastern Kansas and in northwest Missouri and in south central Nebraska all of his life. That, quite frankly, is why I went into ministry, because of me going to listen to my grandfather, especially when he preached in Topeka, Kansas, at the Highland Park Church of Christ back in the early 1960s. I thought he was the grandest man alive. And he had a tremendous influence on my life. My grandpa Allen never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would come every Sunday to worship services, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, a great bass singer. As a matter of fact, they called him Brother Allen, and he wasn't Brother Allen. And he never obeyed the gospel, even though I would hear my dad as a little boy plead with his father to obey the gospel. He was a good man, but he never became a child of God. But my grandma Allen, who was one of those sweet, large grandmas who had arms that I could, as a little boy, just kind of play with like that, as so many grandchildren do, I can remember going and spending the night and her laying in bed with me as a little boy, and she would tell me story after story after story of her coming to the area of Manchester, Oklahoma. You probably don't even know where Manchester, Oklahoma is. It's south of Anthony, Kansas, if you know where Anthony, Kansas. It's over by Cherokee, Oklahoma. Coming from Illinois in a wagon over to Manchester and settling there. She was a very faithful Christian, and her perseverance with a man who never obeyed the gospel and the raising of four children, one of those children being my father, who obeyed the gospel when he was in college and later became an elder in the church in Wichita, Kansas, where I'm from, and himself a part-time preacher for little churches in western Kansas, she had a tremendous influence on my life. And I would imagine, again, you could say the same thing possibly about some of your grandparents too. So what do grandparents have to offer in our day? What can grandparents do? If you listen to the secular mindset says the first thing that grandparents can do is they can give grandchildren more stuff. They can give grandchildren more things. As a matter of fact, surveys have shown that the grandparent generation of our day is the wealthiest generation in all of history. A lot of grandparents are providing more stuff for their grandchildren than ever before. And if you really stop and think about what this society promotes anyway, in a society that promotes conscious consumption, in a society that promotes the buying and the accumulation of things, some grandparents want to give their grandchildren everything they didn't have as children themselves. But there's something more than stuff that you can provide to your grandchildren. Christian grandparents can provide something far, far more valuable than material things. As a matter of fact, there is something called deprivation. And I think children and grandchildren need to experience without. If they get everything they want anytime they ask, that's not going to be a good thing eventually. A glass of cold water isn't all that important until you've been in a hot, hot desert and you're dying of thirst and you really need a glass of cold, cold water. And so my prayer for you is that you won't think giving your grandchildren more stuff is the answer to them loving you and always being there for you. All you have to do is look at what Timothy's grandmother had to offer him and what she did actually offer him. Well, what did she offer him? If you're taking notes tonight, here's the very first thing that we read in this particular passage. She offered him, apparently, number one, a sincere faith. She offered Timothy a sincere faith. The best gift, brothers and sisters, I truly believe that Christian grandparents can bequeath to their grandchildren is not necessarily an inheritance, even though that's fine, not necessarily material things, but it's the kind of faith that Lois passed on to her grandson, Timothy. And it's the kind of faith that Paul, if you really look at the text, that the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy to rekindle as he faces the things in life that leave him a little afraid and a little unsure and a little uncertain. He talks about a sincere faith. A sincere faith, brothers and sisters, is a genuine faith. It's the real thing. As a matter of fact, in the original language, the Greek word translated sincere simply means an unhypocritical faith. A faith that models a consistency between what it says and what it actually does. That actually lives it out. It is a get real kind of faith. Have you ever noticed how people today, especially younger people today, have a way of seeing right through a hypocrite? I don't know if we live in a day and age where people can spot a fake as fast as they can spot a fake or a hypocrite or a duplicitous person as they can today. And they can especially catch it in the area of religion. They can actually tell, at least the students at Oklahoma Christian can, and those students who come to Memorial Road can, where I'm a member, they pretty well can catch if a person is genuine, particularly when it comes to faith, particularly when it comes to religion. And that is exactly what Grandma Lois offered to Timothy, a genuine, real, sincere, unhypocritical faith. Albert Einstein was once asked, what's required for godly child raising, for good child raising? Kind of an interesting question to ask Albert Einstein. But Albert Einstein said there are three things for good, godly raising of children. Example, example, example. It really doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth. It does. But what really matters is, do you live out your faith? And if there's anything a grandma can do, if there's anything that a granddad can do, it is to live out your faith. Grandparents can offer their grandchildren a unique example of what sincere faith in Jesus Christ is really all about. And I think if there is any element of a sincere faith that Christian grandparents can offer to their grandchildren, it is a courageous faith. And quite frankly, the older Christians that I know at Memorial Road, and I'm sure it's this way at Crosstown as well, the one type of faith that I see older Christians and grandma and grandpa Christians at Memorial Road exhibiting to everyone within that congregation is a courageous faith. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote to Timothy reminding him of the faith handed down to him by his grandmother. And in light of that, he says, God did not give us a spirit of what? Timidity. God didn't give us a spirit of cowardice. But he, in essence, is saying God gave us a courageous faith. And an example of sincere faith, I think, is going to serve for a long, long time as a reminder to the next generation to not cave in when life gets rough, but to live life with courage. And grandparents, especially grandparents, are in a position to communicate a courageous faith to their grandchildren. Grandparents, if you stop and think about it, have lived through all of the challenges. Grandparents have lived through all of the cancers. Grandparents have lived through all of the illnesses. Grandparents have lived through the depression. Grandparents have lived through adversities. Grandparents, probably more than anyone else, have lived through all of the adversities in life. And they've endured most of those adversities with courage. That's something children need to learn, to be courageous in the face of the fearful times of life. And if anybody can teach them to be courageous in the fearful times of life, it is a godly grandpa, or it is a godly grandmother. During a thunderstorm, a grandma was tucking her little granddaughter into bed. And as she was about to turn the lights out, the child asked tearfully. The child was scared to death of the thunderstorm. She said, Grandma, will you please stay with me in bed all night long? I'm afraid. I'm scared of the thunder. And Grandma gave her a little hug and a little kiss. And she said, honey, I can't stay with you all night. I just can't do it. I have to stay in Grandpa's room. And there was a pause, and then her granddaughter's shaky little voice just kind of broke the silence and said, big fraidy cat. Grandpa may have appeared to be a fraidy cat, but let me tell you something. It was Grandma's reassuring hug that reminded her granddaughter, let me tell you something. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. And I think that's something that you and I need to remember, that everything's going to be okay, and everything is going to be all right with Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect, but everything in the end is going to be okay. And a sincere and genuine faith communicates courage. It communicates an unhypocritical faith, and grandparents can offer that. Number two, grandparents can also offer power to their grandchildren. They can offer power to their grandchildren. Grandparents have that fantastic opportunity to teach their grandchildren that they are not helpless, they are not powerless in the world. They have an opportunity to teach their grandchildren that all the power of the universe is going to walk with them daily in the person of Jesus Christ, and that they're going to have the strength to be and to do for the glory of God anything that they can dream of doing. And Timothy, who may, we don't know this for a fact, we always teach this, but we don't know this for a fact, Timothy, who may have been a little shy, Timothy, who may have been a little retiring in his ways, might have forgotten his dreams of being the man that God had really called him to be. But Paul says to him, remember what your grandmother Lois taught you. Finally, they can also offer their grandchildren love. They can offer their grandchildren love. Through the agency of his mother, and through the agency, this godly agency of his grandmother's sincere faith, Paul comes along and he tells Timothy that God has given him a spirit of love. And the kind of love that Paul mentions here in the original language is that great love, agape love, which signifies God's sacrificial love. And I just want to tell you tonight, I think that grandparents have the marvelous opportunity to share the love of God with their grandchildren, to model unconditional acceptance and caring. And sometimes it's only going to be the grandparents who really offer that nurturing role, where children actually see God's love and where children actually see the grace of Jesus Christ. A fellow by the name of Arthur Kornhaber wrote a book a number of years ago entitled Grandparent Power. Love the title of the book, Grandparent Power. And in it, one teenage boy tells his story. And this story may hit a little close to home for some of you, but I want you to listen to the story of this teenage boy. In the book, he says this, the teenager says this, I felt I was abandoned in my own home. My father had left to live with his girlfriend, and my mother was a total wreck, always on the phone crying or shouting or talking to her lawyer. I had developed a kind of way of just smiling through every problem our family went through. I don't think my parents even knew how scared I really was. I was only 10 at the time. But it was Grandpa Joe who saved me. He caught on. He knew that I was hurting. He started showing up at the house a little bit more than usual, and he took me to the ball game with two of my friends, and he had me sleep over a lot, and he'd tell me stories, and he'd make me laugh. He'd say, we were the men of the family. And that made me proud. Also, Grandma Rose had died 2 years before, so Grandpa Joe was really all by himself. He was alone. And he told me he needed me in his life. And that did it. I didn't feel like I was the only one who had all of the problems of the world anymore. As a matter of fact, he said, all of a sudden I realized I had a job to do, and that was to love Grandpa Joe. Brothers and sisters, the Grandpa Joes of this world, I think, can love and model the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ in a hurting child's life, teaching them to reach out in love and compassion to other people who are so apathetic and who are so indifferent. Courage, power, love. Three things Christian grandparents can offer to their grandchildren. But in order to do that, there's one more element that Paul talks about. If you notice, he also talks about self-discipline. Paul tells Timothy that he's also been given a spirit of self-discipline by God through the sincere faith passed on by his grandmother, Lois. And the Greek word that's translated self-discipline, if you look at verse 7, is really hard to translate into English, but it really carries with it the idea, as William Barclay puts it, of a self-mastery which keeps us from being swept away. Grandpa, Grandma, if there's one thing you can do for your grandchildren, it is to keep them from being swept away. Prevent them from being swept away. Swept away by what? Swept away by drugs, swept away by gangs, swept away by the prevalent idea that there really isn't a God anymore. Let me tell you something. Unless you've been living under a shell, it is in and it is big time to deny that there's even a God. To be swept away by media pressure, to be swept away by consumerism, the accumulation of things, to be swept away by the pressure to conform to society. And to many of our grandchildren, life is a scary, scary place. And they find themselves, as you well know, running to a whole lot of different things to find security and to find happiness. And godly grandparents can come along, and they're in the position to teach children that the God who rules the universe in Jesus Christ is still alive today and is still at work, and He'll give all His children the staying power to endure. Let me tell you something. God is still calling Timothy's to be leaders in the church. Amen? But I'm telling you, somebody's got to help these boys and somebody's got to help these girls stay in love with the church and stay in love with Jesus Christ. And grandparents, not discounting mom and dad, it's your primary responsibility, but you can come alongside, or if there's a void, you can fill the void and maybe turn somebody around for Jesus Christ. A Sunday school teacher, and we're going to close with this, suddenly stopped reading a passage in her Bible on a Sunday morning, and she turned to all of her kindergarten pupils, and she asked, "Why do you believe in God? Why do you believe that there is a God?" And she got a whole lot of different answers, but one little boy looked at his teacher and simply said, "I guess it just runs in the family." That's a good answer. And the question that I want to leave you with tonight is, and I'm as serious as a heart attack, does it run in your family? Does it run in your family? I hope and pray that it does. And I challenge all of you tonight to reach out to the children in your life. And let me tell you something. Some of you can be grandparents to children who don't have any grandparents. You can be grandparents to children in this church who just need you. I don't care if they're 5 or if they're 16. You can be grandparents. And you can be a positive, not a negative, don't be a negative influence in their lives. Be a positive influence in their lives. And you proclaim value in them so that they'll see the sincere faith that's living in you and want to follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. Let's pray. Father God, what a wonderful passage that hopefully, God, we didn't take liberty with tonight. We expounded upon the fact that it's pretty obvious that grandparents can play a major role in the lives of their grandchildren. I pray for every grandparent who is here tonight to not feel as if they're on the sidelines, to not feel as if there's no purpose for living, but to remember that an encouraging letter or an encouraging email or an encouraging telephone call or an encouraging card or a pat on the back or a special trip may be just what the doctor ordered in influencing a grandchild, whether that grandchild lives in Tulsa, goes to this congregation, or lives halfway across the country. And help those of us who aren't quite grandparents yet to aspire in our later years to be godly grandparents and realize the effect we can have on a society who so desperately needs anchors for living. We thank you for Lois. We thank you for Eunice. We thank you for Timothy and Paul. And most especially, we thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray this prayer. Amen. Thank you very much.